Greetings in the precious name of Jesus Christ this morning. I do appreciate our service this far. I feel blessed by the Sunday school discussion. I feel like it's been a forerunner of my message that I'd like to bring this morning. The holy name of Jesus Christ, the one that has promised to set free. In John 8, verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Friends, this morning we again have gathered in his house to thank God for his freedom that he has given us. James 1:17 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There's absolutely no shadow of doubt in that he has set us free. If we are free, we are free indeed. This morning's message, I would like to draw our attention to the Old Testament. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, I will say there's not a lot of Sunday teaching in the New Testament. There is places where Jesus says that he healed on the Sabbath. That would have been what we now call our Sunday. There is times where it says the first day of the week. But probably 80-90% of the word Sabbath comes out of the Old Testament, which was very interesting to me. But if you think about it just a little bit like this, I came across this here description of Sunday. Sunday is a type or a shadow. And until a type or a shadow has been fulfilled to its fullest, it will continue to be what it was from the beginning. We think of rest. The Sabbath simply means the day of rest. And we are looking, as Christians, we are looking for that day to come when there will be a day of rest. And that is when Jesus will return. So we go back to where it was established, and that's where we get our basis from for today, because the end of time has not come yet. Jesus has not come yet. We are not at rest yet. We can be at rest in the Spirit because Jesus has set us free. That is a rest that we can claim today. But the rest in eternity has not happened yet. So the type in the shadow still stands until Jesus returns. This phrase is found in Exodus 20. And the other thing that caught my attention is how much God talked to Moses about the Sabbath day. If you have your Bibles and want to turn to Exodus 20, he gives these Ten Commandments out, and this is, I believe, the fifth commandment. In verse 8 of chapter 20, it says this, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now remember how the setting was. Moses is up in the mountain. The mountain is covered with cloud or smoke. There is lightnings, there is thunders, and the people are down at the bottom of the mountain, and they don't know what's happening for sure. But Moses is up in the mountain, and God's talking to him. And he's given him these layouts, and he gives him a number of different, he gave him five commandments before this one, but he comes onto this one. And verse 9, he says, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days God made the heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. If I'm not wrong, it seems maybe it's just the way the English has been translated from the original Hebrew writing, but it almost seems that God put more emphasis on this subject than he had on. He talked to Moses longer on this subject than he did on most of the others. Is there a reason for that? I think there is, because it starts before this. If you turn to Genesis chapter 2, in verse 2. Well, verse 1 to 3. And this is, again, this is God. He is in his fullest, he and in his might, he breathed the word and it happened, and the earth was made, and the heavens, and it says in verse 1, thus the heaven and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because it is, for in it he had rested from all his work that God created and made. There's a special significance about the Sunday that we today hold. And why he maybe explained more about that is because he says, remember. I believe it's because we are leaky vessels today. Why do we every 7 days come back to this of remembering the Sabbath, the Sunday? Why do we remember a day that is set apart for God? And also in Deuteronomy 5 is the same. Moses is again, he comes down off the mountain, and he's telling the people of Israel, children of Israel, God's special people, chosen people, what God told him. And later on in their lives, he relates his story again, almost word for word. But there's a phrase in verse 22 of Deuteronomy 5 that I'd like to just read. These words the Lord spake unto all the assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, which with a great voice, and he added no more. Seems like God was talking, and he laid all these 10 things out, and it was done. And Moses headed away. I'm also convinced that if you would take the 10 commandments and apply them diligently to your life, you would be a saved Christian. Do you believe that this morning? That is how important the 10 commandments are. And I'm just taking one of them out just to look at this morning, because if you take all of them, I don't know how long it would take us to explain all of them. Keeping the Sabbath day to sanctify it. It is a day set apart, special service unto the Lord, as the Lord thy God has commanded thee. Maybe Sunday would be easier to remember. If you ever think about it, how that Sabbath day was. What if today the lights would go out, the house here would be filled with cloud, you couldn't see each other, it'd be dark, and there'd be lightnings and thunders happening. Do you think you'd remember that Sabbath day, that Sunday? I think there would probably be something that happened that would be so different and so special that it would rivet something in our minds. Now, this is what happened to the children of God's people, children of Israel. As this day was being established, God made a significant mark in their minds. Would you say a scar in their minds? It didn't. I don't think it left right away. Unfortunately, though, and sadly, like I said, we are leaky vessels, and it didn't seem like it went real long until there were things that were forgotten. They forgot about the Ten Commandments. They started doing things that were very, well, it was very appulsive to God after he told them not to do things, and then they just went ahead and did it anyhow. That's, I believe, why he puts the remember in front when he again stated it. Sunday. How does it affect us today? How does it affect me? How does it affect you? How does Sunday affect me? How would you explain the doctrine and the practice of Sunday to somebody that has never had Sunday before? Now, maybe it would be better if your children or if those watching you would explain to somebody else why you do what you do. Do you think there'd be more truth that would come out? You know, this morning we are here, and every one of us, possibly from our born days on up or in the last 5 years, have been taught and have been showed the way of Sunday, right? But what does it mean to me? What is the value that I put on Sunday, and how would I explain it? And why do I choose to observe this day different than all the others? I think we'd have to go back to the scripture and find out the real reason why Sunday was set apart. Because if I would follow my pattern of my life and I would go back real far, I'd be a little embarrassed to tell you how I used to keep Sunday and the value that I placed on Sunday. Sunday simply has the meaning of the day of rest. I came across this in remembrance, that God in 6 days made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is, and that the seventh day he made for rest and spiritual duties, that in it himself rested from all his work, that he blessed it and sanctified it, set it apart from other days to be devoted from the beginning to the end of time, not to secular, but to sacred duties. And that is taken out of, that thought came out of Genesis 2, 1 to 3. Another one I came across is this, keeping it holy. In accordance with the object for which God made it and gave it to man. And this is talking about the Sunday. All days should be good. And we should never forget that God sanctified us. He cleansed us. And with that, we owe him something back. We owe him our lives. So in the Christian sense, we say every day is the day of the Lord. That is true. But I would like to say that there is a lost emphasis. There is a lost value in our settings today for the day Sunday. I'll just be very honest with you. That's how I feel. There is things that we have picked up, and somehow we think it's okay. But when you really read the Word of God, I'm not sure that it is. Actually, I'm here to say it's not. That's because the Word said so. But think of this. As a day not to be devoted to worldly business, conversation, reading, travel, visiting, or amusements, nor to sleep, idleness, or worldly thoughts and feelings, but to be employed in religious worship and into the promoting of our spiritual good and that of our fellow brethren. Now, I know this was an individual thought upon that, but do you see what the picture this man is painting? He is saying that, is a selfishness okay on Sunday? Is it really the Lord's day? When I tell somebody, I had a very interesting conversation with an individual that, he was a salesman, and he is part of our business that I work with. And to get sales up, he said, well, hey, it would be okay for you to go to church in the morning, and then in the afternoon, you could probably do some business. Really? Is that okay? Is that okay? I told him, no, it's the Lord's day. But what did I tell him when I say it's the Lord's day? If he would have asked me, so what do you do in the afternoon? Well, I go hiking because that feels good to me. I possibly read some business books. I sleep because I've been working way too hard all last week. What did I just tell him? Friends, I told him it's the Lord's day, but I'm going to use it for myself. It's mine. I'm selfish of this day. This is my day. See, the difference between saying it is the Lord's day is saying, I will devote this day to the Lord and do what he has told me to do in the scripture. Or I can say, well, it's the Lord's day, but I have a lot of things to do to catch up. I've not been with my family all week, so I'm going to devote my whole day to my family. Wouldn't that be a good thing? I mean, we are commanded to watch our children, teach our children, be involved with the family. Isn't that okay? Well, friends, if it is because it is my day, it is my time, I have just really violated the scripture on God's holy day. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Today, times have changed. Did the commandment change as well? Is it safe to change the practice that my forefathers observed and held very valuable today? Maybe I'll answer this one in my points. My first point is, devote Sunday to the Lord. If I'm going to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, it needs to be devoted to a holy being. That's the only way. The other thing is this. This is very interesting. In the end of, I believe it's recorded in all of the, well, maybe not. It might be just recorded in Deuteronomy, and I'd like to read those verses. There's a reason why we need to devote this day and why we need to give it special attention. Deuteronomy 5, let's see if I can just lay my... He's talking in verse 13. He starts in verse 12 in Deuteronomy 5, and he goes 12, 13, and verse 14. But the Sabbath day but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, or the day of rest, he's saying, is the day of the Lord. And then he says this: in it thou shalt do no work, nor that, and he goes down through, and verse 15 is the verse I wanted. And remember that thou was a servant in the land of Egypt. Friends, this morning, we were bound in Egypt. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you were bound and there was absolutely nothing in your power to release you from the bondage, the chains of sin? We started off with saying we are free because God said so. You are free indeed. Do you believe that you have been freed from the blood of Jesus Christ? If so, there is a day that he is asking you to devote back to him. You have been set free, so remember the Sabbath to keep it holy because you were once in Egypt and now you're set free. Isaiah 58, 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and thou shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Verse 14, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and to feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. We could also turn to Psalms, where he says, there are part of Psalms in Psalm 73, and we'll probably get to that. David didn't quite see it this way at times. He didn't see the great benefits of delighting himself. He was actually influenced by some of the things that were going on. But God is saying here, if you would do what I say, I would be glad, I would be thrilled, I would be happy to heal you. That's what he's saying. If you would devote one day to me, I would bless you. I would bless you. Isaiah 56, verse 2. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on him, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and that keepeth his hand from doing evil. Devoting the Sabbath day to the Lord. And I would like to just maybe plug this in. Is it possible to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy if I'm not living a holy life? Think about that just a little bit. Is it possible for an unholy thing to produce a holy thing? Friends, I think devoting a day to the Lord first has to start out with some prayerful attention to where I am and how pure I really am. Where am I between God? What is my being in front of a God Almighty? We were just talking about, and I'm not sure even where it came from, maybe in devotions, is you ever think about standing before the judgment bar? Friends, if you didn't, you really need to. Think about someday you will stand in front of God and he's not going to ask you for discussion about your life. There will be no discussion. But rather he will say, either you have kept my holy day holy, or then he will say, you have polluted my holy day. End the conversation. There's not going to be, why did you do this or why did you do this? I don't think it's going to be that way at all. Time will be over. If it would be open for discussion, it would be rather, well, we can just argue my point of why I did and just my own justifications. But rather, it's not going to be that way. Friends, when we stand before the judgment bar, it's going to be rather like this. Did you devote Sundays to me? And the answer is yes or no. Is it my day to do as I please? Well, it's rather not. If I devote a day to God, then I am telling him that I will do his will today. But rather, it is the Lord's day, and I will fill it where he has called me. I would like to just, and this is my own personal purpose, and I think I'm allowed to share this. I stand a little on a different, probably a different level, and there's probably differences even within the church here. But how devoted is Sunday to you? My point is this. I don't travel on Sunday if I know that I can't make it and I have to purchase something on Sunday. That's my personal stand. I wish I could portray that to everybody because of this, and this is where I get this from. In Numbers, there was an individual. In Numbers 15, after he heard how to devote the holy day, he was caught carrying sticks to build a fire. Now, was there anything wrong with that? He was probably hungry. It says they stoned him because he violated the Sabbath. I was also asked this question. So if then the ungodly have the gas station open, isn't it okay for you to fill your tank? My point is this. Is it okay? Would it have been okay for the children of Israel to sit at that man's table and eat of the food that he made with the sticks that were gathered unrighteously? Do you get my point? If you know that that ungodly individual is opening his business just to, because he has no view of God. He doesn't even know God. And you know in your heart that he's ungodly because he has polluted the Sabbath day, right? And what is the answer to that? He's not going to eternity, right? He's not going to go to heaven. So he's lost, right? Right in the right track? Is it okay to sit at his table to eat and enjoy his mistake? Friends, I don't quite see it that way. I feel like a devoted Sunday is the Lord's day. Why would we pollute it? Do you get my burden? I think there's way too many things that happen and that we justify themselves because. I mean, really, why is your business not open on Sunday? Why are you not working on Sunday? The story goes like this. An individual from a town, a pastor had a wonderful church service, and for dinner, he went to the restaurant in the local town there with his friends. And as he's sitting dining, he is getting hard on the waitress. Why weren't you at church? I mean, it was wonderful. We were blessed. We felt the Spirit. She said, "Sir, I had to make your food for you." I think sometimes, way too many times, we devote the Sunday on our basis. We value Sunday to the point where we justify our actions to the value we have on Sunday. Point number two. Prepare in prayer. In Matthew 26:41, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And this is where I'd like to plug in with Psalms. In Psalm 73, David has this, he sees this, and we are told that the ungodly will prosper even on Sunday. They will have proof that if they have their business open on Sunday, it is even better. Psalm says that it will happen. Do you believe that? Are you tempted with that? Friends, many times we are tempted to possibly push the line just as far as we can without violating any standards just because it looks. Well, friends, we must come to God in prayer. Pray that we enter not into temptation, that we don't lose the value and the view and the teaching that God himself said about the Sabbath day. Colossians 1:9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease praying for you and to desire that ye might be filled with knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." The Sabbath is to be prepared with much prayer. And as I was studying, I wondered when the last time I was that I prayed for the song leader. Can you tell me when you last prayed for the song leader? What about the devotion leader? possibly just the Sunday school teacher. When did you last pray that God would show you something this morning as you enter into his house? I don't care where it is, in a song that you sung, in a devotion that was led, in the Sunday school teaching, it is all based on the word. When did you last ask God to diligently search your heart and to cut out anything that shouldn't be there before you enter into his house? Well, he's saying this. In Colossians, he's saying he doesn't cease to pray about this, that they would be filled with wisdom and spiritual understanding. That is praying for the others. But he says many, many times, he says, friends, pray for me. Brethren, pray for me. He constantly says that. Why? Because he is very real. Paul was very real that the flesh was very, that the spirit was very willing, but he himself was very weak. He needed help. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, my brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may be free, have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. There we have it. Verse 2. And that we may be delivered from the unreasonable wicked men, for all men have not faith. Friends, the temptation is real. The battle is real. We stand on a war ground. And if we don't pray for each other, then who will? Do you think the ungodly will pray for you? I think we sometimes miss the point of how powerful prayer is. First, maybe we have to understand what is prayer and how powerful is it. Has it ever done anything for you in your life? Do you have basis to believe that God even hears prayers? Well, friends, all of those is God does hear prayers. We have many things that we can go on and on about God's stories in our lives, all because of a diligent prayer from an individual, maybe from yourself, maybe from somebody for you. Have you ever found yourself struggling, feeling like you were dragging yourself on the ground, barely able to go, and you got a text? Or a brother walked by and said, hey, pretty heavy, ain't you? I'm praying for you. I don't know. If you've never experienced being down and have been lifted up by prayer, you don't understand the power of prayer. I hope you have. I hope you understand exactly what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying here is continue in that. Make a diligent effort to pray before Sunday arrives. 1 Timothy 2:8. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lift them up holy hands without wrath and doubt. Because the point is this, if you prepare in prayer, it is very hard to be in prayer and to find fault with anybody. Did you ever try that? Maybe you had a falling out. And you get down beside your bed and you're praying to God. Can you actually pray God and tell him to straighten your brother or your sister up? I find it very difficult to do that. I can't do that. When you think of who you're praying to, a high and holy God that wants purity and he wants righteousness, he wants people to walk straight forward. Well, it doesn't give a whole lot of time or a whole lot of space that we can be praying diligently and produce wrath and doubt. Point number 3, prepare to receive the word. In Exodus 16:23, and he said unto them, this is which the Lord has said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe that which you will seethe. And that which remaineth over, lay up for yourselves until the morning. I don't know if these people were prepared to hear, but this actually was said before the Ten Commandments came out. Moses actually realized that back in Genesis, God said, this is how it is. And he stalks before the people and he says, people, I want your attention. And then he brings this message to them. Well, there was some that had prepared to listen because they did prepare and they had food on the next day. But sadly, there was those that did not. I wondered as I was reading that story is if, would we all have food when we get home? Or have we intentionally prepared things that we shouldn't have been preparing? And we expect that there's going to be food there. Think of the children of Israel. They were given a direct commandment. Don't gather manna on Friday for Saturday. It won't work. That was God saying. And he said, Saturday, gather for enough for Sunday. See, we prepare things for Sunday, and I think that's a good practice. I really do. I think that's a good practice for each of us, that we do as much of the labor as we can on Saturday so that we can devote the day to the Lord. But then you look into Mark, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway, on the Sabbath, when he entered the synagogue, he taught. There's Jesus Christ teaching. It also says that on the Sabbath day, they went through the fields, and they gathered ears, and they ate them. And you have to understand the setting there. The Pharisees did not care for this at all. See, the Pharisees practiced the day of the law. They knew what it said, and so as long as you do the law step by step, it's okay. But they didn't have a holy day devoted to the Lord. They didn't even know who they were devoting the day to. Therefore, it looked like a very bad thing to do is even fill their necessities. That's when Jesus healed a man, and they said, wait. The ruler of the synagogue told him to get out. He said, isn't there 6 days that you can come in here and heal? That's polluting the Sabbath. Then's when Jesus said, listen, if you had a sheep that fell into the pit, would you pull it out? And he said, well, yeah, of course. I mean, that's saving life. He said, there you got it. You answered your own question. There are things that we do that I don't think that God will ever put it against a bad list, but rather a good list. There's times that we burn energies to help out because it's necessity. It's to save life. That is very important. But here in Mark 1:22, Jesus enters into the synagogue to teach the people. And I know there was some there that were prepared to listen and to receive the word, but there was also there that were not ready to receive the word. It says in verse 22 of that same chapter, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught as one that had authority and not as the scribes. He was saying something and teaching something that God had established from the beginning. The ones that were astonished were those that had prepared to come to the synagogue. Acts 13:42. And the next day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of the Lord. And that is Paul, when he reached into that city and he was teaching, and they said, we will hear you next Sunday. And they were there. Just a thought. When should the Christians start to prepare to meet God? People have and will bring the value of Sunday to their level to justify their lifestyle that they presently live. The next point is partaking in his ordinances. Luke 22:19. And this morning, if we're going to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, I think it is very important that we take all his ordinances and practice them literally. Literally. And I am so thankful to be of a part of a group here that believes that and wants to do that. In Luke 22:19, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. It's not just, hey, you know, if it fits in, that's okay, then do it. But rather, he says, if you remember what I have done for you, you will do this. You will do this. Likewise, also, the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, as which is shed for you. And in John 13:14, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. It's plain, simple. But friends, how many times do I go through those practices? And next week I forget what the practice really meant. It says this, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. Practicing, partaking in ordinance is wonderful. And I am so blessed to be of a part of a group that does that. But do I really realize the full emphasis, the full meaning behind the ordinances? Why am I doing them? Do I really seriously bend down in a humiliating state or in a very awkward position before my brother and wash his feet because I love him? Or do I do it because that's how the church does that I'm part of? If you really think about that, friends, would you wash or think something different if Jesus was sitting here and you would get to wash his feet? Or if he was washing your feet? If there is something different, friends, then I think that there needs to be some work done in my heart. There needs to be some adjusting done in my heart. Acts 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morning, and continued his speech until the night. This is the first that the church is actually recorded, that the church is actually doing a communion service. But friends, they did it based on that they were remembering the Sabbath to keep it holy. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Shall we kneel for prayer? Dear kind Heavenly Father, as we pause in your presence this morning, it is thankfulness of our hearts and humility of our spirit that we come before you, asking you, God, to lead us and to bless us. Father, we want to trust in you, and so, Father, give us strength. Lord, I just pray that this morning, as we again look into your holy word, that we will recognize your will, that we would look into your word for direction. And Father, we thank you so much for the words that have been penned of your will, your direction that was given. And Father, I just pray that you would just help me apply it to my life. Help us to make discernment that is wise, discernments that would bless and glorify your name. Father, we just pray now that you would just bless each one here. Guide us and keep us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.